At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Save big money at Menards. Get your garden ready with groundbreaking power equipment from Earthquake. Tillers are great for breaking up compact soil and killing weeds in your garden. Get maximum power in a compact frame with a Pioneer rear tine tiller. It features dual direction tines and self-propelled steel wheels. Hurry in for all of your lawn and garden needs and visit Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now. Save big money at Menards.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list. Teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Welcome to the Week 15 episode of the Cubulous Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Cal Nusslinger, joined, as always, by Brian Hartman. And welcome back, Mario Adamo Jr. After 2 weeks, you know, I didn't think we'd get him back after the Eagles' tough loss to the Cowboys. I figured he might have another lost voice or something along those lines that was going to keep him out another week. But you know what? He's pushing through. I can't really say too much because the Steelers got lost to the Patriots. So, that's probably worse than everything, but as usual, how are you guys doing? This is a fun week of football, and we're capping it off with a doubleheader that we're trying to watch and podcast during with, so what could possibly go wrong?
Wait, am I offsides? You got to tell me if I'm offsides here.
Oh, topical. Too like soon? That. Too soon. What a play to be erased and just gone forever, though, with that. That Kelsey.
I mean, Travis Kelce's Hall of Fame legacy is totally ruined by one 30-yard
catch.
He's not going to get anymore. I mean, you know, I was going to vote for him, but now he doesn't have that. I don't know if he meets it.
There goes my vote, yeah.
There goes his opportunity.
Yeah, but
poor guy. At least he's got Taylor Swift, right?
At least he's got Taylor Swift. But as you can tell, we are fired up on this episode. It is time for the fantasy football playoffs. I'm sure all three of us are in the playoffs somewhere, maybe sweating things out as we're watching this doubleheader. So, again, what could possibly go wrong? But we'll get into all the latest, everything that went down in Week 14, including some of that offsides controversy, and try and find you those waiver wire options to get you that playoff push and to start the playoffs off on the right foot. But we start off the show with some unfortunate news in terms of the injury front. And it comes out of Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Chargers. Quarterback Justin Herbert, Horbrook, whatever you want to call it. He's having surgery on his right index finger. There's no timetable for his return, but like we said, it's week 15. And the Chargers are 5-8. unlikely to make playoffs and probably going to have a new head coach by Black Monday of the NFL season. So it wouldn't shock me at all if they just shut him down and say, hey, you know what? Let's just call it quits. Let you get right for 2024. So how does this impact your Charger players, the Austin Ecklers, the Keenan Allens? Can you start them with Easton Stick at quarterback the rest of the season?
I was hesitant to start Eckler already. So, like, I think Keenan Allen was really the only confident play anyway. He plays so close to the line of scrimmage that maybe Easton Stick can make something happen, but this is a huge downgrade for this entire team.
Yeah, I will say I have maybe a little bit of confidence in Eckler. Like, maybe I'm just delusional and I have too many shares of Eckler, so this is copium talk. But I did see that after halftime, after this injury happened, we just saw kind of a little bit more dump offs to Eckler, you know, just getting the ball in his hands, which I like to see. I'm definitely more worried about Keenan Allen, but I feel like it's just going to be what we're seeing with the Bengals right now, where it turns out if your wide receivers are talented enough, like, you just got to get the ball near them and they'll catch it and be productive. So I'm not panicking yet, but it's definitely not a ton of confidence going into the first week of the playoffs for these guys.
And, you know, the good news for that is there's no more buys. You're going to start the playoffs and you're going to have your whole roster, at least without injuries, ready to go. So you may have an option to replace a Keenan Allen and maybe not an Austin Eckler, but you never know. So that's the exciting part. You're going to have your guys ready to go with all the excitement. And there's a lot more injuries. We'll get into more of them as we get through these options. But let's talk about some of the great plays of week 14, because boy, were there a lot of them. Mario, you are joining us again for the first time in a couple weeks, so I'll let you kick it off. Your biggest boom of the week.
Oh my gosh. My biggest boom. Let's start with quarterback, most important position of football. I'm going to go with my boy, Justin Fields. He seems to always have a great game against the Detroit Lions. And he had another one. Earlier this year, he had 21 points. This most recent week, he had 24 points. Currently QB number 3 before these two Monday night games wrap up. 223 yards, passing touchdown. He gets his rushing touchdown, too. He does it all. Really big fan of Fields. He does have a tough matchup next week at Cleveland. But after that, if he can survive that, I really like his remaining matchups of home versus Arizona and home versus Atlanta. So really like Justin Fields.
And I think my favorite quarterback play of the day is MVP Lamar Jackson. Is he back from that epic season? I sure hope so, because it's playoff time here. But Lamar finishing as the QB1 as of now during the Monday night games on the week. 43 attempts, 24 completions, 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, only 1 pick. And then the best part, the 70 rushing yards on his 11 attempts. Woo. Like, this is the Lamar Jackson that we've wanted for double-digit weeks. You know, he doesn't make it this far in the season, or at least he has in the last few years. So we've got Lamar. He's amped up. He's ready to go. We've got some playoff matchups, and I'm so excited to have him on my teams this year.
We've been waiting for both of these guys, and Fields is partly injury. Lamar was just some inconsistent weeks where the run game was really getting going, where Lamar wasn't looking like himself. But hopefully this is a sign of things to come for the fantasy football playoffs. I'm very excited to see what they do over these next couple of weeks as we start the championship matchups. And of course, we'll get into all of those matchups on our weekly start sit show. Who's going to be on it? To be determined. There's a whole rotating cast of characters. We'll figure that out as you hear, but maybe one of us three, maybe none of us. We'll figure it out. Someone will be on it and break down all 16 matchups as we start off week 16 or 15 with an Aiden O'Connell versus Easton Stick game. Thursday Night Football at its finest, ladies and gentlemen. Thursday Night Football at its finest. But we'll go to the running back position. Speaking of Thursday Night Football, with one of my biggest highlights of the week, it came at, of course, at the downside of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But Ezekiel Elliott, 22 carries, 68 yards, but 7 receptions, 72 yards, and a touchdown. Ramondre Stevenson's out for a while, folks. And there was talks about whether Ezekiel Elliott can be this league-winning type player. Can he be the lead back? Well, 1 week in, yeah, he's got that upside. So as long as Ramondre Stevenson's out, you can start Ezekiel Elliott with a ton of confidence. I was very impressed with what I saw from him, and was very impressed with his usage in passing games. So Ezekiel Elliott, a huge, probably maybe one of the biggest winners of the week in my eyes.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. Zeke, I mean, he looked like classic old Zeke. I'm looking now. He's running back one as of this point, 27 fantasy points. I feel like that's better than Ramondre's had in a game this season. So, yeah, I like what I'm seeing out of Zeke.
It's better than Tony Pollard this season. Yeah, better game than Tony Pollard had all year. I remember seeing that, at least as of Thursday night. So, it was nice to see, but of course, I wasn't too pleased as a Steelers fan. But Brian, over to you. Any other running backs that stood out for you this week?
Oh, it's that guy up in New York. Well, I mean, when you've got a stud like Zach Wilson at quarterback, of course these pieces are going to be great. But we'll start with the running back from the Jets. It's Breece Hall. And of course, we're not going to talk about his running because it's very subpar. He actually finished at 4 yards a carry. So I'm kind of thrilled with that. But 10 carries, 40 yards. But the greatness is the 9 targets he got again this week. 8 receptions, 86 yards, pulled in a touchdown. Breece seems, I don't want to say matchup proof, because like he has a ceiling that can be capped with the play from this team. But with matchups against Miami, Washington, the championship game against Cleveland's a little suspect. But these next 2 weeks, I think he's going to have a great opportunity to continue to feast in this backfield.
I'm loving that. And I was going to just keep in the division, because it turns out the AFC East is just running back factory. James Cook rounding out this division. All these guys in the AFC East. But James Cook finished with 25 points. What do you have? He had the receiving touchdown, 83 yards in the air, 58 yards on the ground. Big day. As the Bills, they upset the Chiefs in a crazy one. And we kind of alluded to it earlier, but the whole Kadarius Toney, like, of course it had to be him, like, right? But crazy game over there.
Yeah, it's nice to see Cook be, you know, bounce back. For a while we were having that, is he the lead guy? Will Leonard Fournette eat into his touches? Is Latavius Murray eating into it? It was nice to see Cook kind of remind people, no, this is why you all liked me. This is why I was going to be the top running back on his team and us asleep. I want to say sleeper, wide awake sleeper. But speaking of that category, Rashad White, 25 carries, 102 yards, no touchdown, but 2 receptions, 33 yards, and a touchdown through the air. He continues to be an RB1. Set it and forget it. You start him every week the rest of the year. He's very involved in the passing game. I know this week was a little quieter in terms of that usage, but the volume has been there, and Rashad White is making a name for himself. So final shout out to Rashad White as we wrap up the running backs.
Yeah, 135 total yards from him and a touchdown. That's, I feel like there was a good amount of talk about him this summer about what he could do as the lone back there. But I feel like it's quite impressive what we've seen from Baker and company in the Buccaneers. Like, everybody loves to joke Baker. Everybody loves, like, he's been on, what, 4 teams, 3 teams over the last couple of years. Like, But at the same time, this team has still been exciting. Mike Evans has been elite this year at the age of 30. Makes me, sitting at the age of 32, feel way better about myself. I'm only 2 years removed from a Hall of Fame season right there, you know? Like, I could have been doing that, but, you know, I didn't want to steal his thunder. But, yeah, I'm a big fan of the Bucs this year. Happy surprise.
Yeah, nice to see them take first place, or at least with that win. And, you know, 6-7's got you in the playoffs so far, so that division is going to be an interesting ugly stretch. We'll go to the wide receiver position where, Mario, I'll let you kick it off as well. Wide receiver break performance of the week.
Would love to. And I can't talk about my boy Justin Fields without talking about this guy, his best friend, DJ Moore. I mean, what else is there to say? Finished with 68 yards. He had the touchdown in the air. Also had a fun little direct snap play, which he took to the house. So he had a rushing touchdown as well. Currently wide receiver 3 on the week with 26.8 points. Love me some DJ Moore. Again, like, I'm just singing these guys' praises, maybe because I have shares of them, so I love talking about them. But they're definitely finishing strong. Like, they just came off out the bye week. Like I said, they both do good against the Lions, so love me some DJ Moore.
Another receiver that I feel like I've got to give him credit. Maybe give Arthur Smith credit for here first, because he's finally turning it around in Atlanta. Bijan saw 56 of 72 snaps with 7 targets. But Pitts, Mario, I know you're going to gush all over him in a little bit.
I saw this.
Had a decent game. But these two weren't even relevant, because the highlight of this game was Drake London. 11 targets, 10 catches, 172 yards. wide receiver two right now on the week. This was a game I did not think was possible from this team. Drake London, after last year, the talent was absolutely there. We were so excited to see a quarterback come in here and really feed him the ball. And I don't think it was until this game that we've really seen him just blow up. This is now his second 100-yard game, and I'm so excited for the future of Drake London.
It was extremely impressive. It's now two straight weeks now of just pure, like, the clear number one target. It only took, like you said, Arthur Smith, 13 weeks to finally realize, wait, I have a first-round wide receiver and a first-round tight end? Huh. Maybe I should use them more often. But two straight weeks now, I think Drake London's entering that set-it-and-forget-it category as we go to the fantasy playoffs. Maybe a little more matchup-dependent than you'd want, but I think you'd just, you have to roll, run with the hot hand at this point, and Drake London is absolutely that. And for me, one of the biggest winners, again, Cooper Kupp. We had that conversation last week of, is he even startable at this point? How confident can he be? Well, he went out against the Baltimore Ravens of all teams and went 8 receptions, 115 yards, touchdown on 10 targets compared to Puka Nacua's 8 targets. You're back to these Rams wide receivers, both being wide receiver twos, you could start with confidence week in and week out. That was great to see from Cooper Kupp. I won't put him in that wide receiver one category yet, just because that injury is still lingering and could happen at any moment. But there's no question anymore about Cooper Kupp. You have performance like this, yep, he's right back in your lineup. So it was really nice to see him look like vintage Kupp one more time.
Yeah, I know I had no faith in him looking like this again. He's firmly on my bench. Because of course he is, so that's where he goes off. Spends tail time all year. I'll give you guys a heads up. If I start him next week, that way you guys know to bench him and vice versa.
Got
take
it.
One for the team. Yeah.
Yep. Wow. We appreciate it. We appreciate it. That's what we're here for, to help people, not help ourselves.
Oh, you guys going to make me do it? Am I going to have to talk about another Jet? All right, here we go.
You took Garrett
Wilson.
Yeah, you're our Jets guy, resident Jets guy now.
Oh, God, don't say that, Mario. We don't need to put that out there. There's a few people that listen to this. No, it was yikes. What happened, Zach? I loved it. Loved to see him out there in the rain, in the elements, against the Texans, who, you know, were surprisingly good this year. But Garrett Wilson, 14 targets, 9 receptions, 108 yards. He did have a rush attempt as well, only pulled off 3 yards with it, but Garrett Wilson was heavily targeted in this matchup, and I think Zach Wilson understands who his best receiver is. It's just he's so scared that he has to throw it more than 4 yards to get it to him. So maybe that fear is gone. I saw a quote coming out saying, hey, what are they going to do? Bench me again? Do it. You know, so maybe he's playing with that fearlessness, and I think that might be what he needs to do. Like I said, going up against this matchup, Miami-Washington, let's get some points in these games, you know? Let's see it happen.
It's about time. We were saying Zach Wilson's probably the best of the horrible options for Jets, but it was nice to see him look good. Again, maybe Garrett Wilson's becoming back, going right back to that. You know, you could start him with a little bit more confidence now. It's still Zach Wilson and the Jets, so I'm definitely more confident with Drake London right now than I am Garrett Wilson. But you know, maybe his schedule will be can change my mind. But and final shout out too to the top receiver we didn't talk about, Deebo Samuel, 7 catches, 149 yards and a touchdown, along with a rushing touchdown after getting a receiving touchdown called back to, I believe he stepped right out of bounds right before that. But yeah, he's very good. So not too much more to add there with Deebo Samuel, but shout out to him for a really good week as the Niners took over the number one seed.
Deebo's on a hot streak right now. 3 straight games over 20 fantasy points. It is quite impressive what Deebo's doing.
Electric.
One of his jukes, I just remember seeing that and was like, holy, get the defender out of his shoes. I can't remember which defender it was, but it's right at the goal line, just one step and just fell right over. It was quite impressive.
I almost tripped over watching the game on my couch, so it's very impressive.
Yeah. 2 weeks ago, I saw a lot of impressive Deebo in person, but it was a bummer. Was not as fun as hyped to be.
Yeah. Oh, man. We'll quickly shout out the tight end position. David Njoku just continues to do it. He's a set and forget it tight end. 6 catches, 91 yards, and 2 touchdowns. With Joe Flacco as the starting quarterback the rest of the season, Njoku is right in that conversation of he's an easy tight end starter each and every week. And Evan Engram, too. We were waiting for him to score touchdowns, and suddenly he's on a heater. 3 touchdowns in his last 2 games, 11 catches, 95 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Same thing, Evan Engram, set it, forget it, tight end. Lawrence is actually healthy, shockingly, and yeah, I don't think you have any questions about either of those guys, so shout out to the tight end position.
Ooh, yeah, I've got a dynasty league where I'm double starting Njoku and Engram, and it has saved my playoff run, so I'm all here for it. Let's go tight ends.
With Evan Engram, actually, yeah, I want to know, like, as of right now, he's tight end 1 this week, and he was tight end 2 the week before. But you said he has 3 touchdowns in his last 3 games. Those are his only 3 touchdowns of the year. So do we really feel Evan Engram is set it and forget it, or is this just like a flash in the pan, you guys think?
I think about Christian Kirk. Yeah, he's probably, that's probably the target's going to go his way. But
I think the target share is, like, that's what's impressive to me. He's only had less than 6 targets in 1 game this season. That was week 1.
Yeah.
This guy is consistently getting about 7 to 8 targets a week, and I'm here for it. Love the Evan Engram turnaround.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm happy to see that. But with every stud, there come the duds, and boy, were there some duds. And starting at the quarterback position, where I could talk about my quarterback all we want, but let's face it, we're not starting my quarterback in fantasy. Mitch Trubisky, he doesn't deserve to be on this list because you're not starting him. But you guys had quarterbacks who were on this list, so obviously different levels of
feels intentional
startability, but you gotta let me know if you're concerned. We'll start with Gardner Minshew. Just get that one out of the way. So Brian, kick it off. Is Gardner still on that streamer category after a performance like this?
Honestly, I'm not really a huge fan of it. He's got Pittsburgh, Atlanta, and then Vegas the next 3 weeks. I think all of those teams are sneaky average, and against this Colts team, I don't really feel confident in it. When you see Minshew back there, whether he has a clean pocket or he's being chased around back there, he looks erratic. It's a struggle for him, and I just don't like what I'm seeing there, especially to get the ball to anybody other than Michael Pittman. Michael Pittman is his first read, his second read, and other than that, he just gets sacked. So I'm really not a huge fan of using Gardner Minshew going into the playoffs, unless, you know, you're super flex style.
And over to the quarterback, where actually, you know, there should be some serious questions. Well, I wouldn't say should be, but there will need to be some after this week. Jalen Hurts, who you started, obviously, or drafted to be your starter. Mario, what did you see from Jalen Hurts this week? Have we reached a point where you can start having the should we start Jalen Hurts in our playoffs conversation?
Oh, I think that's an overreaction, dare I say. Maybe I'm a homer, but like, so he had 8.9 points last week. That's not great. He played the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas, who's been killing bad teams at home, especially at home all year. Eagles looked like a bad team, and so they got killed as such. Jalen Hurts is 8.9 points. I'm looking now at his history. He has never scored this few of points since he's been a starter, since he's taken over the job. Like, you have to go back to 2020, where him and Carson Wentz are still, where he's still stealing a couple snaps a game. And even there, I see a game where he had 10 points because he snuck into the touchdown, into the end zone. So his worst game ever. I don't think we're overreacting. He's playing at Seattle next week. You don't like that it's a road game. The Seahawks have historically always kind of been a thorn in the side of the Eagles. But on the plus side, the Seahawks are about, looks like they're 11th most points allowed to fantasy quarterbacks. You're firing them back up. And then right after that, you're playing the Giants, who you feel really good about, knocking on wood. So it's a bad week. It happens. Remain calm, everybody.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that, but it's been a few of them in a row. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have any concern. You get Goddard back, you get those two matchups, you start him, but, you know, I guess he's not the quarterback 1 or 2 anymore. He's probably more 3, 4, which is still obviously a must start quarterback, especially in those matchups. But we don't need to spend too much time on Jalen Hurts, because there are other duds from the week, including at the running back position with his teammate DeAndre Swift, which maybe this is more of a conversation as to whether he's someone you want to start week in and week out. But you know, it was another performance, 11 carries, 39 yards, didn't get any targets in the passing game. You know, can we start him with confidence the rest of the way with those two matchups coming up?
he's someone I'm a little bit more worried about because this is his third straight week finishing as running back 30 plus. You don't like seeing that. Failed to reach double digits in either of those games, though he did have 9 against Buffalo. Seattle is a fine matchup. I'll let that let the sit start guys kind of cover him there. But I do think Swift, there's a conversation where I don't have as much confidence going into the playoffs with him.
I do love the championship matchup against the Arizona Cardinals, though. They give up so many points. So it's one of those, like, I understand if he needs to maybe ride the bench for a week or two, but I don't know if he is a full-out drop candidate yet, just with the landscape of the position, the injuries and stuff like that. And I still think he'll have some matchups that'll be favorable going forward. Maybe with, I mean, it seems like they've kind of, the San Francisco and Dallas has found a way to slow down Hurts in the running, keep him contained a little bit more. So maybe we get more dump offs to Swift. I just, you know, it's where my mind goes to try and, you know, keep the ball moving out of that, out of the pocket there a little bit, but we'll see, I guess.
Yeah. Other running backs real quick, Josh Jacobs, we'll get to his situation more. He got hurt. He did leave the game with an injury. So Zamir White, maybe a waiver wire pickup will cover him in just a little bit. And the Ravens running backs, number one. After you put up 37 points, you think, oh, the running game must have gotten going. Nope. Keaton Mitchell, 9 carries, 54 yards, with catch for 8 yards. So maybe the lead guy, Gus Edwards, 6 carries, 15 yards. He's touchdown or bust. So I think the running backs are safely flex options the rest of the way. You don't have to start any Raven running back. Over to the wide receiver position, we had a bunch of studs that were duds this week, so I'll run through the names really fast, and you tell me if there's any reason to be concerned about any of them. We'll start in Buffalo. Stephon Diggs.
Nah, he saw 14 11 targets.
Yeah, I'm not panicking on him yet.
Ja'Marr Chase.
I feel like there was already a little bit of a glimmer of a not a panic, but, like, you know, his ceiling can come down drastically from a week-to-week performance. Browning still looks pretty good in this game, looked good last week, but I think, you know, expectations should be tempered with Chase. You know, you're putting him in there and just hoping that he gets to do Chase things.
Yeah, really well said. I'm definitely a little disappointed, especially because we saw the week 13 where it is possible with Jake Browning, like, you know, you can't, you got your copium shop and then see him just get targeted 4 times, bring in 3 of them. I'm worried a little.
I'm on Ross St. Brown.
I'm worried.
All right.
Over the last 2 weeks, he's got 5 catches and only 70 total yards. 1 touchdown there, but I don't know if I'm necessarily worried about him. It's his quarterback, Mr. Jared Goff. I don't know. This is my biggest reason in Dynasty why I've been so afraid to commit to him in a Superflex league and, you know, run through a playoff run with him, because he seems to crumble this time of year, and I don't know if I want to trust that, especially against 3 great defenses. You've got Denver, who's turned it up, Minnesota, who has been playing above average, and then to finish off championship week, you've got Dallas. And Dallas is hot, hot, hot. I'm sorry, Mario, earmuffs, I get it, but Dallas is looking so good.
Dallas is looking so good. I was just going to say spin zone for St. Brown, because I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I think that Jared Goff stinks this time of year, specifically when he plays in the cold. He's a Cali boy at heart, can't play in the cold. But guess what? He plays this week, home versus Broncos in a dome. Week 16 at Minnesota in a dome. Week 17 at Dallas. You don't like that matchup, but it's in good weather, right? I don't think it's technically a dome, but you're in Jerry World. It's warm weather. So I'm not too worried about St. Brown. These last two you really hate to see, but I mean, he's just been a stud of studs all season long. I'm not panicking.
So you're saying Dan Campbell just needs to get Goff some sleeves for Christmas and we're all good? I'm down for it. Let's get that GoFundMe.
Listen, he doesn't need sleeves. He's playing at home in a dome or warm weather at Dallas, like the rest of the season. You got 2 home games, and then your 1 road game is in Minnesota, but it's in the dome. So, and Dallas,
perfect.
He's fine.
That's a perfect Jared Goff stuff. And finally, Ryan's saying his praise at the beginning of the show, but Mike Evans. I doubt we're worried, but just real quick, anybody concerned about the performance of Mike Evans?
Nah. They're gonna have to happen, you know, eventually.
Yeah, live and die by Baker. Is this one? This one's more quarterback.
Yeah, and then Dalton Kincaid, it was a rough week for him for Buffalo. Not too much we could do from the tight end position, but, you know, with Dawson Knox back, finished with only 5 catches for 21 yards. Did have 8 targets, so I think we may have brushed on this with the start of the show, but is Kincaid, you know, is Kincaid a must-start tight end now with Dawson Knox back?
Between that and the shoulder injury that he's reportedly day-to-day with, Dalton Kincaid, I'm not sure. It's tight end, so there's not many guys that are guaranteed to be this skill level and this many targets. But I do think people should be wary, should be checking out the news, because I think it's a big deal that right as Kincaid's looking a little banged up, Dawson Knox is ready to come back.
Monitor that situation closely. You have a streaming tight end article that will come out in a couple days to try and fill in for Dalton Kincaid if you need. But of course, we'll cover some of those options in just a little bit. But let's get to the waiver wire. Again, this week is not the best. We did have some injuries, but there's not the big priority. But we're going to try and make sense of it. Of course, it is playoff time. So we'll start at the running back position. We talked about Josh Jacobs going out with an injury. There's no full update for now as we're recording this on Monday. But Zamir White would be the next man up for the Raiders if Josh Jacobs was to miss any time. It's a Thursday night game, so, you know, count that closely, but does this make Zamir White the highest priority add at the running back position?
I think he's definitely up there. When you get a guy that should plug in and get a majority of the workload, if Jacobs is out, I think it's there, but God, you're talking about a team that couldn't even put up points this week, you know? Yeah. They got skunked by Minnesota, who we talked about. They've got an above-average defense, but they're so streaking. It's playoff time. I don't know if I want that in my lineup.
Big time agree with that. That was going to be my biggest concern and point of emphasis is like, they just scored no points. So you can't feel good about this guy. He's going to have the opportunities, but I just don't trust this team on the other side of the field. So opportunities there, but I mean, first week of playoffs, if you have a bye week, you pick them up for the funds, but
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll stick with the injury theme because Jacobs wasn't the only one who went down. Alexander Mattison left with an ankle injury. So that makes Ty Chandler, a guy we've been touting for a little while now, the next man up for the Vikings. And then Isaiah Pacheco, he's dealing with a shoulder injury. He's going to miss some time. Andy Reid didn't rule out the possibility that he would end up on an IR. So it goes to the weekly mix of Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Jerick McKinnon. Are either of those guys the priority over White? If you had to prioritize those next men up options, who are you looking to go after?
McKinnon's team has the best chance to score, so I'd probably have to say him, but I do like Chandler a lot. I've written about him in some previous weeks for the waiver wire article. I did see him getting like kind of mixed into the offense, even with Madison being healthy, and now that Chandler's just kind of destined to be the guy. Is Cam Akers still there? Did he
tore his Achilles again.
He did? Okay.
Yeah, he's out for the season. Well, maybe. He comes back from those, so yeah. We might see him next week. Who knows?
Him and Aaron Rodgers are just racing back. So probably McKinnon, just based on like the offense, but he's not giving me a lot of confidence either.
Yeah, after seeing what Moss did, or what the Bengals defense did against Zach Moss, Ty Chandler does make me a little hesitant playing against that team. This team's looking pretty good. They're fighting for a playoff spot after a season we thought was done. Ty Chandler does have some electric speed that Zach Moss does not have, but we saw this defense take care of the running back, so maybe Zamir White would probably be my favorite out of the two.
Yeah, so I think Chandler falls into the same category. Pick him up, maybe not a must start, but if you're going to be a lead back for Minnesota, who will see who they start at quarterback this week, there might be some value. But I would agree, the matchup's tough, and I think I'd probably play White over him this week if Jacobs does miss time. So if you're not going for the next man up for these teams, there's still some other options. Obviously, I'll throw it out there. Ezekiel Elliott, of course, if he's out there, go get him. But he's probably right on that border of the rostership percentage that we usually like to talk about. But just a reminder, go get Ezekiel Elliott. who are some other names that aren't as highly touted, aren't the, you know, the priority ads that you guys are looking for, or for someone with is a priority that we didn't mention yet?
I'll start it off with, we mentioned a handful of commanders last week, but they are coming off of their bye week along with the Arizona Cardinals. And I think Antonio Gibson is somebody that we need to look at. Now, a lot of this depends on Brian Robinson. If Brian Robinson got that week off, he's able to come back, then I'm not, you know, all over Gibson. But if Robinson does miss again, Gibson just being the pass-catching back, they're playing the Rams this week. The Rams, pretty good run defense, but with his pass-catching abilities, the game script that they might be in, I think that we could see a decent amount of work for Antonio Gibson going into the first week of the playoffs.
I like that one a lot. I'm going to keep with my Bears gravy train and just say one of these running backs has to have value, right? So I'm going to go with Deonta Foreman. He led the trio of Foreman, Khalil Herbert, and Rashawn Johnson. He led the three of them in snaps. He actually nearly doubled the next man up, which was Johnson. He had 39 total snaps. Next closest was 20. What did he do in those snaps? He did have 50 yards on the ground on 11 attempts. So a little bit of signs of life. Brutal matchup next week, though, at Cleveland. So I'm not excited about that, but maybe he's just a lottery ticket stash for those two matchups afterwards of versus Arizona, who Brian already mentioned is terrible against running backs, and then versus Atlanta, who is they're probably fighting for a playoff spot, but I'm not worried about Atlanta fighting. So I'd say Foreman.
Yeah, and I'll throw Keaton Mitchell out there. Brian's mentioned him in a couple straight weeks now, but just a weekly reminder, he did lead the team in carries. Justice Hill was the played the most snaps, which was a little strange, but Mitchell still outsnapped Gus Edwards. He had the majority of the rushes. This Ravens team, we know their MO is to try and run the football. I know Lamar Jackson looked really good and they're probably gonna throw it a bit more, but I still think Mitchell has that Devon Achane light where one big run takes him off. Again, he's probably not a must start just with how much they mix and match, but he's definitely someone you want to stash with how good this Ravens offense has looked lately and will continue to look going forward.
One I'm going to throw out there for the Los Angeles Chargers. We're going a little deeper. These are for these bigger leagues, these injury-riddled teams, but I can't say it. Isaiah Spiller. I know. We've seen these backs behind Eckler, and they are trash. Or what we've thought were trash, but I don't know. Eckler's just, he's been 3.6 yards per carry in all but two games this season. It's just not great. So even if Eckler still holds down his, you know, the main snaps, we saw Isaiah Spiller get into the mix a little bit. So I think we could see something happen, especially with Justin Herbert being pulled out. We might not see him the rest of the season. So if they take this route of Eckler, you look hurt, let's go ahead and can you for the year. He's not on a contract, so who knows? He probably ended up finishing it out, but maybe the Chargers will really want to see what they have in Isaiah Spiller, and we see a higher snap count going forward for him in the next few weeks.
And if I had to give any praise to one of those guys, like an absolute 18-team, injury-riddled, I'm going to say Chase Brown on Cincinnati. He kind of got all of his points on that 50-yard screen. I think it was a 54-yard screen he took to the house. But I think that with Burrow down, we're just seeing a little bit more creativity from Cincinnati and just a little bit more just throwing whatever against the wall and seeing what sticks. So I could say he is just like he may be more of like a DFS kind of guy. But again, lottery ticket, Chase Brown, the other Chase in Cincinnati.
He's so just, fast, too.
Yeah,
he's
that
just
was
fast. He's just fast.
I had a parlay where I had Joe Mixon reception, so I was, you know, bouncing around the games, had red zone, saw a screen. I'm like, oh my God, Joe Mixon. And I'm like, oh, that's not Joe Mixon. He's
Who's
too fast.
Yeah,
as soon as I saw him, I'm like, oh, come on.
Who's this guy on the field?
Just what Eric wanted in week 14, a Jake Browning to Chase Brown screen pass for touchdown. But you know what? It works. And you know what? Hey, the Bengals are, like I said, they're fighting for their playoff lives right now, right in that mix with our Colts and Steelers and the other 10 AFC teams that are 7-6. That's 6-7 seeds going to be a quick out. I think no matter who gets it, unless it's Buffalo.
They've got a rough playoff match too. Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and then even in week 18, they've got Cleveland. So, whoo, Bengals, fingers crossed you guys can make it to the playoffs. But
it'd be a heck of a story if Jake Browning can do it. But yeah, I wouldn't get my hopes up. And our weekly reminder as well, pick up Tajay Spears. We're watching this game live, and obviously we don't know anything like that, but if something was to ever happen to Derrick Henry, or if the Titans fall out and just say, okay, let's see what we have with Tajay Spears, there's a lot to like there with the pass-catching running back of Tennessee. So he's very low on the priority list, but just a reminder, if you have a bye and have a spot stash, you can do a lot worse than getting Tajay Spears. So real quick, before we move over to the wide receivers, we mentioned a lot of names here. Let's rank them, our top three, four in terms of priority. We're in the playoffs, so there's not too much stashing. So if there's a stash candidate, you can mention it, but we need wins. So who are you prioritizing to win right now to get the wins for the fantasy playoffs?
Do we all agree Zeke is number one if he's available?
That was going to be my thing. Yeah, I think Zeke is obviously number one.
We'll take him off the list since he's right on there. But if Zeke's out there, go get him.
Then it's hodgepodge. Brian, you want to take a stab at this?
Sure. Yeah, Zeke would be my number one for sure. And then I think I'd follow it up with McKinnon. If McKinnon's not there, CEH, I think grabbing one of those pieces is worth it. And you know what? I'm going to die by this guy this season, but Keaton Mitchell, I think, is still my number three after the Chiefs running backs. And then maybe Ty Chandler would be my next one.
Yeah, it's super similar to mine. I like Foreman instead of Mitchell, just sticking up for my guy for the Bears. But it's just tough with the Chiefs running backs. Like, I like them. Just, again, their offense is the only one of these that scores. But which guy is it? Is it Clyde Edwards? Is it McKinnon? And then even Foreman's kind of in a little three-headed monster situation, too. And also, Justin Fields is going to run in for touchdowns, and DJ Moore rushed in for a touchdown. So, it's tough to come by for a Bears running back. But so maybe just for that reason, I'll give Chandler the bump. I think the opportunities will be good for him.
Yeah, Foreman against the Browns this week scares me, but his matchup next week against Arizona, he's gonna be a weak winner next week.
So go get him now. Even if you have to stash him, if you have a bye week, definitely
Deion
Foreman. Yeah. That's a great call. I'll agree. Chiefs running backs are my tops. I'll throw Ty Chandler at two, and then I'll give Zamir White some shout out. They play the Chargers, and we've seen how bad that defense is. This is a team that just kind of has given up. I think they're fully just, I don't want to say tanking, but Staley's not going to be anything around much longer. I think the Chargers kind of quit on him. So maybe Zamir White can have a solid game if he does that. But before we get to the wide receiver position, we should mention just for Monday night's football sake, you'll know this, but just the instant reaction. We did see Jalen Waddle leave with an injury. I believe he has returned as we're trying to watch two games and podcasts at the same time. But Tyreek Hill is in the medical tent. He did jog off, but was trying to walk it off, but they did move him to the medical tent. So monitor the Tyreek Hill situation closely. We'll see what happens with the Miami Dolphins receiver. But
you guys interested in Berrios if both of them are hurt or banged up?
PPR floor, maybe. Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah.
Speaking of the wide receiver position and people being banged up, the first name we'll bring up for the wide receivers is Noah Brown, a name we've been bringing up a lot. And that's because, well, not only is Tank Dell out, but Nico Collins left on Sunday with a calf injury, ruining any possible chance of me making the playoffs in one of my leagues. But, you know, I'm not salty or anything. So that leaves only Noah Brown and Robert Woods, with Dalton Schultz still banged up with his injury. So how the mighty have fallen in Houston. And also, oh, by the way, CJ Stroud's in concussion protocol. So we might see Davis Mills have to get the ball to Noah Brown. So that's fun. Well, with him being the possible number one in Houston, regardless of who's quarterback, is he the top receiver?
He'd be my top receiver.
Ugh, that's a tough one. I think he is, just because, again, opportunity is. But he – and tough matchup last week, right? Like, against the Jets, who I believe are the number one against wide receivers, went 0-for-5, didn't catch any of his targets. Week before that, 0-for-2, didn't catch any of his targets. He was hurt the previous 2 weeks, but then before that, you saw 27 points and 24 points. So you know he's capable of it, but I don't know. I worry about him. I worry that the 24 and the 27 was more the mirage, and this is really who he is.
Yeah, I think my big worry, like, the opportunity is completely there, but the biggest fear is C.J. Stroud. We didn't really touch on him. He left with a concussion. Mm-hmm. So if for some reason he doesn't play this week, well, this week's the main reason you want to pick up Noah Brown is because of the matchup with the Titans. They play the Titans this week and also the championship week. But with that being said, if C.J. Stroud's out this week, I don't know how confident I am in playing him. And then the next week they play the Browns, and I don't necessarily want to play him against the Brown if he is the only target. So, yeah, I think this is matchup dependent based on, you know, C.J. Stroud coming back. But I think if he does, he's cleared this week. The Tennessee secondary is a great team to target with wide receivers.
So if you, without Noah Brown, we brought up some other options for him, some things you're concerned about with him. Where do you go at the wide receiver position? Who's the next man up? Who are some other names that we want to be looking at considering the injuries we're dealing with at this point?
Odell yes. is going to be kind of like in that Zeke category for me. He's going to be higher owned right around that 50 threshold, but we saw so many targets go to Zay Flowers and Odell Beckham. Odell only brought in 4 catches, but he had 10 targets, 97 yards, and a touchdown. With Jacksonville, San Francisco doesn't even scare me that much as far as the wide receiver position, and then Miami in the championship. I think Odell is going to be a nice playoff piece.
Stolen word. You said it as I was typing his name into the search bar, but Odell is the guy. I see he's 41% in Rust in Yahoo, 51 in ESPN. So for all the Yahoo listeners out there, I think Odell is just looking at the slate of who's available. I think he's one of the best bets just for his lottery ticket upside.
I definitely like that call. We mentioned the Christian Kirk injury and the increase that's going to come with to Evan Ingram result, but Zay Jones bears a lot of reminder, especially now we know that Trevor Lawrence is still going to be actually healthy and useful for fantasy the rest of the year. And so we can start on week 14. Zay Jones had 14 targets, only 5 catches for 29 yards, but it's hard to argue with a 29% target share and 14 targets. So Zay Jones is out there. If he slides into that Christian Kirk or Calvin Ridley role, there's a lot to like there. So I think Zay Jones is up there for me as a high priority ad.
Yeah, 22 targets over the last 2 weeks. They do get a tougher matchup against Baltimore this week, but then afterwards they got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are allowing the 5th most fantasy points to the wide receiver position. I'm a big fan of Zay Jones.
Yep. Mario, you haven't really thrown out the names you saw with Dell. So who's your, you know, who's your next man up sort of guy along with these options?
It is all so ugly. I do think Odell would have been my number one guy. I do like Noah Brown just because I was somebody that picked him up after those 2 very boom weeks, and then he was hurt, and it's like, oh. And then he came back from being hurt and had 2 Cheerios back-to-back. So Noah Brown has hurt me, so, but I think he's probably just the next best option. I was also looking at Saints player Rashid Shaheed a little bit. He's definitely available in a lot of teams. Oh, but it looks like he's actually missed the last 2 weeks. Oh, because he was hurt. We'll have to keep an eye on see if he's actually back or not.
Yeah, I think he's a decent play. He's gotten way more involved in the Saints offense since Michael Thomas has left. So a bit of a lottery ticket, but he has the speed and he streaks down the field. So if Carr's able to find a way to get him the ball, I think I agree with Sheehy.
Which is a tall ask.
Yeah. Two guys were watching as we're recording, so we don't have the instant analysis, but Romeo Doubs with the loss of Christian Watson. I want to see how involved he is. I know Jaden Reed, has been the guy we've touted the most, and he did get the end-around touchdown as we're recording this so far. But you know, there's still volume there, and Doubs had that little early stretch where he seemed like the go-to target for Jordan Love, so I like Doubs if you miss out on some of these guys, as well as Jalen Hyatt. He's got the most upside and up in this giant receiving room, and they're going to have to throw it to somebody. So, again, monitor closely. If he has a decent game, there's some upside there with the maybe number one receiver, even if it's 4 of the New York Giants.
Here is, speaking of number one guys, like somebody has to catch this ball, Juju Smith-Schuster. with Bailey Zappi, Zappi hour. Oh, I see Brian's face. He's loving it. No, he's not. He's not. And I'm even looking at Juju's schedule. Like, it is stacked versus Kansas, home versus Kansas City next week. Two road games at Denver, at the Bills, and then finish it off home week 18 if you play then against the Jets. So ugly. But flip side, Zappi hour looked alive and well last week.
It was a steal, you know.
I'm just so embarrassed about that. No, take all the shots you want. That was a disaster. I was talking with my roommate about this, and he's like, do you even want them to make the playoffs? I'm like, as a Steelers fan, yes. As an NFL fan, no. They'd get trounced in the first round. But do I want them to make the playoffs? Sure. Forget actual competitive football. I want to watch my team. But no, it's not looking good. But yeah, Juju's the one for now. They did have DeMario Douglas was out with his concussion. So I wonder what happens when he comes back. So, but if he misses another week, someone's going to have to catch the ball in New England. And Juju may have a safe-ish PPR floor as the one in that offense. I say with a lot of pauses because it's Juju Smith-Schuster. But, hey, you could do worse. You could definitely do worse.
You could do worse.
Juju's only 27 years old. That's so crazy. I feel like he's been playing forever. Like, Antonio Brown was sane when Juju was in the league, you know? Like, and that seems so long ago.
Le'Veon Bell, I think, was like still playing.
Right. Oh man.
Yeah. Oh man, I miss that offense. I miss that so much.
Yeah, we're just taking more shots at the Steelers. Remember this good Steeler?
Hey, at least they won a Super Bowl. All those great players y'all had.
This is a playoff team we're talking about here. All right. We're in the playoffs. We're a higher seed than you, Brian.
In the hunt.
I don't want to, as a Colts fan, I don't want to make the playoffs. We're not going to do anything. We're going to ruin competitiveness. Give me that.
Minshew's fun in the playoffs, I bet. And give it his all.
Yeah, but I mean, what's more fun, Gardner Minshew or Josh Allen? Or, I mean, Come on. Or Mason Rudolph.
Or Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, gross. Yeah.
I don't want any of that.
I feel like we're talking about preseason here.
Yeah. So let's go back to the actual – let's get off the teams that don't matter, at least for the waiver wire options, and get back to our receivers. We mentioned all of these guys, and one other name that was on our sheet, Michael Wilson. The Cardinals are coming off their bye. Hollywood Brown seems to be okay. He might play, but the Cardinals are out of it. Maybe they want to see what they get from their young guy. There's been a lot of flashes from Michael Wilson. So I think he's a very good stash candidate as well. But – so let's prioritize it. Who are we looking to get it with wide receiver? I know Noah Brown was kind of our favorite, but let's rank it your top 3-4 options that you're prioritizing for this coming week.
Is this another where is Odell this Zeke? Okay.
Yeah. Odell's the Lockett is number one.
We'll go back to 2016 and Zeke and Odell are high priority players again.
Wait till we talk quarterbacks too. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So I think Odell would be my one. And then honestly, this is the hard part. Noah Brown would probably be two, but only if we know CJ Stroud's going to play and we're not 100% sure. So I don't know if he would be top priority for me if I'm dropping the rest of my fab for him. He is consideration, but I think I'd probably go Odell, Zay Jones, and Curtis Samuel as my top three, assuming CJ Stroud's going to miss this week.
I like that. I would probably do that same list. So Brown, if the stars align, maybe Shaheed, but instead of Zay Jones, who I'm normally a fan of, I think I'm going to just squeeze in my Patriots wide receiver. I feel like that's been my thing all year. I can't stop now. Juju.
I don't even think that's all year. I think we've just been doing this show together for 2 years now. It's just you find the Patriot receiver of the week. Your Kendrick Bourne call, Juju, you got us on
Kendrick
Mario,
Bourne was the guy. Kendrick Bourne was the guy. And he was just on the up and up, and then he got hurt. So, like, I can
over Puka Nacua. Over
week one. Puka Nacua or Kendrick Bourne.
We've all had our bad takes. So, we got to take you took enough shots at the Steelers. So, I'm going to take a shot at you for that one. I'll say Odell's number one, Noah Brown's two. And as long as, you know, even if CJ Stroud's out, he'll probably be out maybe a week and then he's back in week 16, so, or 15, whatever week's going on. And then I'll put Zay Jones at three. This is the guy for Jacksonville. I want guys who play with good offenses at this point. So I like what I saw from Zay. But let's get to the streamers. You mentioned the quarterback position. So we'll start out there with bring us back to 2016. So let's hear it. This is a with no buys. Who are we looking for at the quarterback position? Because you might be replacing Justin Herbert. You might be haven't played in the streaming game. So anybody, any matchups you want to take advantage of?
In the time capsule, Eric, I got to start off with, is he elite? Is he not? Joe Flickin' Flacco coming off the 21 points. I mean, Cleveland found their answer. He's going up against the Bears next week, who their defense has looked better, but I think overall it's still pretty soft. They're about middle of the pack defensive-wise against quarterbacks, but Joe Flacco, he's looked good the last 2 weeks, 17 points, 21 points. Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of I'm under the spell of I think Flacco might continue to be a top 10 every week.
I've started Flacco the last 2 weeks, so I'm on board with you. I don't think it's a terrible thing. Yes, the Bears defense is playing better, but they're not playing as good as the Browns defense, who I think will, you know, give them favorable, you know, where they're going to be having the ball on the field. I think that, you know, Justin Fields, he loves to give the ball to everybody, not just his team, but the other team. So I think that Flacco will be in a better position in this game as well to put up some decent points.
But Brian, we'll keep it over to you. Your favorite quarterback streamer.
Ooh, he's a little bit higher owned, but I think Matthew Stafford's going to be the guy I go with this week. Matthew Stafford has been playing. He's got three straight weeks with three touchdowns. His yardage this year has just been unmatched. And that's been his biggest problem all season is just the yardage was great. It was all over there, but we just couldn't get the touchdown. So now that we're finally starting to get a little bit of both, I think that Matthew Stafford is somebody I'm willing to stream in my fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, playing against Washington, who's been a defense everybody's wanted to pick on. I don't care if I come off the bye. It's Washington. They're bad. So I love the Stafford call as well. The rest of the options are not pretty, but if I had to pick my third option, I'd probably say Baker Mayfield going up against the Packers. You're probably going to play from possibly behind, playing a close matchup. I think he could have a good game, but I definitely prefer Stafford and probably even Joe Flacco this coming week. So, but if you need someone, Baker's going to be a good quarterback too this week. So I don't hate Baker Mayfield.
What about a quarterback that's coming off a 300-yard game last week? He might be a good play, right?
Yeah, 300 yards, Wilson. Absolutely.
347 yards? Exactly. Who are you talking about?
Start your Dolphins defense, please. We saw what he did on Black Friday. Oh, no, it was Tim Boyle, excuse me. But
yeah, that was Tim Boyle on Black Friday. So now this is the first time they've never seen him, the Dolphins, this year. So no tape.
Yeah, he'll be fine. Start your Dolphins defense. I'm going to bet that's a mirage, but maybe.
Brian, I thought you were talking about this other quarterback who at this time finishes quarterback two on the week, 347 passing yards, only one touchdown. He had a rushing touchdown. Desmond Ridder, the Riddler. I don't know if there's any realness to him, but he's going at Carolina next week. Carolina stinks. Then after that, he plays Indy. I'm not sure how they are against the quarterback. Kind of mid. And then you finish it off at Chicago, who, again, we kind of talked about is like on the up and up, but if we like them against the other net. I don't know. They're just I'm like intrigued by Desmond Ridder, who got 26 points this past week, and I think in the last 5 weeks combined totaled 30 points. So keep an eye on him. Maybe no confidence in the playoffs, though.
That schedule is interesting, and now we're seeing them use their weapons. He's lower on the list, but you know, he's definitely someone you can look into. It's been a good stretch for him. We'll go to the tight end position, Brian's specialty. There's definitely some options out there. It's been a tough stretch, but some people are getting Goddard back, but others you gotta been plugging and chugging because it's tight end. So Brian, kicking on off, who is your favorite tight end streamer this week?
Well, as we've done with the wide receiver running back, we're going to go ahead and say Isaiah Likely. If he's available, he's the number one tight end pickup on the week. Mm-hmm. He's completely taken over Mark Andrews' role. He's, you know, 75% of the snaps. He's looked great, and Lamar is turning it up now that he's, you know, got multiple options to toss it to. So Isaiah Likely is definitely my number one to pick up if he's out there looking like 40% of leagues in Yahoo. So go get him if you can.
I will say, now this Patriots player, a little bit less of like a meme pick, but I think Hunter Henry actually carries some weight to his name. He's coming off the 2-touchdown game. I know before that, the kind of stretch of the Patriots offense has been absolutely abysmal, and they still have that tough schedule coming up ahead. But I liked what I saw seeing Hunter Henry involved. He did have the 2 touchdowns, so that's really boosting his floor. But I think he's someone that has that he's kind of like Cole Kmet adjacent to me, where I think he has that touchdown upside if you're really in the deep into the tight end wasteland.
Yeah, like the same situation if you're in the deep of the tight end wasteland. Chigakonkwo's had a couple good weeks in a row. We're watching him live, so hopefully he keeps things up. But if he goes how it's been, it's 2 weeks prior to this of 5 or more targets, 3 of the last 4. Play Houston and Seattle these next 2 weeks, and then Houston in week 17. He's getting some targets. He's become kind of the second option for Will Levis, which, again, do you really want the second option for Will Levis? Yeah, not really, but it's tight end who is getting some volume. So I think Okonkwo could be a fine stream this week and next.
Yeah, you've got to be tough and confident in what you're doing there, but I think it's a great call. Texans are bottom 3 team against tight ends this year, so it's hard to say I'm willing to do it, and I'm going to have to do it in a couple of leagues, but Chig is somebody I'd look at as well as a tight end streamer.
And we'll wrap things up, as we always do, with the defense options. There's a lot of quarterback injuries, so that means a lot of subpar quarterback play. So the options are plenty. Who are your favorite options?
Kind of like the Bengals. After the Pastronauts magic seems to come back down to earth, I do not have a lot of confidence in their quarterback play for the Vikings. So I kind of like the Bengals are also fighting hard for like the Cinderella Jake Browning playoff push. I like the Bengals defense.
I think one of the easiest things that we've seen all year, target Bryce Young in the Panthers. Falcons are only 32% owned, so I think they're a great snag just because poor Bryce Young, man. Whether he's good or not, we might not ever know. This team is just trash around him, so I think the Falcons are a great play.
And I'll stick with the targeting trash quarterbacks call. We mentioned them, I believe, a week or two just because they had that amazing stretch of defensive weeks. Last week wasn't as great. Drake Browning did better than we did, but I'm willing to jump back in the well and go with the Indianapolis Colts going against Mitch Trubisky and the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's now, they did have a pick. They had 6 sacks in 2 of the last 3 games. Mitch Trubisky's not good, so I think, and that's a pretty clear call. They're probably higher roster, only 29% rostered in Yahoo leagues, and going against Mitchell Trubisky. He's my quarterback, but I don't want him to be. So no matter who it is, whether it's him or Mason Rudolph, the Colts defense has been on a tear lately, and we know the Steelers don't get a lot of yards. So I love the Colts as a streamer.
100%. I like them rest of the season. I think they're a great playoff defense to have. They may give up some points. Most of their games hit the over. I think they have in 9 of their games this week. But like you said, they can score touchdowns. They get turnovers. And Mitch Trubisky. They've got Mitch this week. They've got Ritter the week after. And Aiden O'Collin. Say his name. But yes, the Raiders in week 17. So the Colts are a lower owned team that I think should be snagged for playoff pushes.
A murderer's row of quarterbacks they got to face up against.
Yes. Sheesh. The Colts can have a nice, if that schedule, I don't want to say it's a cakewalk because it's Colts, but
playoffs.
control their own destiny compared to my Steelers. So we will see. Brian and I may not be talking after a Saturday for a couple days, but let's face it. I don't think either of us really want to win this game, but one of us has to. So we'll
20 bucks says it's going to be a tie, and I'm going to be even more pissed than if we lost.
Yeah, I'd probably feel the same. But it's going to be another exciting week of football coming up. But as always, you can find us on Twitter at TheQBList, QBList.com, for all the latest news, updates, start-sit decisions, waiver options, streaming options, everything you need to take down your fantasy playoffs. It's time, and I think we're all worked hard to get this point, but the work doesn't stop here. So can't wait to see where it goes. You can find me on Twitter at Callen_Elslager. Doing this podcast, maybe the Start Sit podcast, and we'll be very active in the Discord over the next couple weeks, trying to help with the final playoff pushes. But guys, any other work you have coming out? Anything you want to plug as we hit the this exciting time?
Yeah, so I will go first. You can find me here most times, not the last couple of weeks, but you can find me, Mario Domo Jr., at the Waiver Wire podcast, which you're listening to now. I also do some of the appearances on the Sit Start. Pretty sure I'm doing it this week. I think the schedule looks good for that, so I'll talk to you guys more then. And then, as always, I'm also doing the Sit Starts. I've been covering the Bears last couple of weeks. Last week I had Bears-Lions. Got Amon-Ra St. Brown wrong, but I think I got the rest of that game. I got Justin Fields right, DJ Moore right. So you'll find me there and on Twitter at Mario Domo Jr.
And you can find my What We Saw articles on football.pitcherlist.com. You can also find my tight end streaming articles. Should be coming out here in the next couple of days to help out this playoff push. You can find me on Twitter at @too_much_Brian. And as the football season comes to a close, you can find me on my other podcasts, Too Much Shenanigans and Too Much Movie Night.
Yeah, like you said, a lot of exciting stuff. This is the best time of the year for our fantasy seasons. We're wrapping it up. Let's go get us some QB List titles. So for all of us at QB List, thank you for tuning in.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.